Welcome back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike, and I got my linemate Matt with me. And today, joining the podcast is Jason from Vegas Fever. What's going on, man?
Oh, not a lot, guys. How are you? Thank you for having us. We appreciate you so much.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No problem, man. No problem. So let's talk some hockey, man. You are from Vegas. Got a lot going on this past offseason, mainly with the kind of bumble with Marc-Andre Fleury. To give DeBoer a pass, you know, he mentioned that Fleury is not on social media, and he was given news by his agent that he was traded. To his credit, apparently during the trade, they can't say if someone has been traded unless the trade call has gone through. The trade call hadn't gone through and the trade got leaked. Marc-Andre Fleury found out about it before he could be told by the organization. And then a complete windfall came down from the fans, from pretty much everywhere that really made the organization look bad. Do you think that it was done on purpose? Do you think that it was meant to disrespect Fleury in some way?
Well, I can tell you that it rubs a lot of people in the organization and a lot of fans, especially my co-host, my wife, very wrong. And you know, we tried to go about the game looking at it from a professional standpoint and not really taking it too seriously. But the fact of the matter is that Marc-Andre Fleury was the heart, soul, and everything of the organization. That's the bottom line. For 4 years, and he was told he was going to retire as a Golden Knight, and he was planning on living in Vegas after. He was told that by Bill Foley, the owner, multiple times. So when you have a owner telling you fans love you, you think you're going to be around. Now, Marc-Andre Fleury was not, it's not his fault that he was given a $7 million contract. A $7 million cap hit. That's not his fault. The organization gave him the money. He took it. He was worth it. He stood on his head every night. He did stuff he needed to do for 4 years. He's done it for his entire career. And Vegas was gifted Marc-Andre Fleury in the expansion draft because Pittsburgh didn't want to lose Matt Murray and others, right? So here comes Fleury. I think that he was not screwed. It just wasn't handled the right way. Before that trade call goes through, before it's done, you need to be on the phone with Marc-Andre Fleury and telling him that there is a potential, a very high potential, that this is going to go through. So, you know, I feel that they didn't do him right. I was very critical of Marc-Andre Fleury last year and the year before, just because, you know, they brought Robin Leonard in, and I really thought that Robin Leonard was, you know, going to be the guy. And I know that we'll get into that in a little bit, you know, but he was brought in and it became a problem. And I think that the reason, you know, the way that Marc-Andre Fleury was let go wasn't fair. It wasn't right. You know, you want to dump $7 million in cap space. That's perfectly fine. But you should be straight with the man who is the reason why you have a Stanley Cup appearance and why you have been able to hang banners and been pretty darn good over the past 4 years. I don't think he got the longest straw. I'll tell you that.
You know, it's really funny because I don't know what it is with the Blackhawks in Vegas. We get Subban, we give you Laner. You give us Fleury. You know, it seems like there's like a carousel between these two organizations and the goalie position. Do you think that, you know, I was listening to your podcast and you were mentioning that, you know, Robin Lehner has, you know, he has, he's either hurt or, you know, he just doesn't have not in the position to kind of take over that number one role in an organization. This year, he's definitely getting that opportunity to take on that number one role, but he has an ailment right now. Do you feel that the wrong move was moving Fleury and not Robin Lehner?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And I have many different opinions on this. When Robin Lehner first came over, I was very high on Lehner because Lehner, you know, he was still under 30. Still is. And he never was the guy. He was never the guy anywhere he had been. He had never gotten a long-term deal. He was just looking to be the guy in a certain spot. So if they bring over Robin Leonard, I thought it was fantastic. And I thought that the tandem could work. Leonard has not been able to stay healthy. And he's said some things that are interesting, some right, some not so right. You know, what you get with Robin Leonard is what you get. Robin Leonard plays with his, you know, with his heart on his sleeve. He plays very hard. He's very passionate. He believes in everything he says. And, you know, he's an all-around good dude, but the wrong move was made at the end of the day. At the end of the day, Marc-Andre Fleury should have stayed. They should have traded Robin Leonard. They should have used Logan Thompson, who was basically the Vezina winner in the AHL last year, right across town in Henderson. And they should have let Logan Thompson be Marc-Andre Fleury's right arm for a few years, and then that's the guy right there. I mean, you give Leonard a five-year, $5 million a year deal, you sealed Marc-Andre Fleury's fate when you did that. And Leonard needed to live up, and I don't think he has. He's got a little bit of an issue again. He hasn't been the guy for a full season, multiple years, like Marc-Andre Fleury has. He's not been a star anywhere. And so until that happens, and it's going to need to happen now, you know, Vegas brings over Laurent Brossoit, and Brossoit was good. He's been good, you know, in the couple outings that we've seen in the preseason. You give that guy $2.3 million, I think you're throwing away money. Honestly and truly, with all the goaltenders that changed hands, you know, over the course of free agency, I think that they whiffed on everybody and they get Laurent Brossoit. Okay, fine. So now you have Leonard and you have Brossoit. Did you get better? Absolutely not, in my opinion. And they didn't get better on the bottom six either, for that matter. And look, maybe some things work out. I'm very critical. I love this team, but I'm also very objective. And I see both sides. And I think that, you know, I really hope I'm wrong, because I like being wrong, because that means that something's gone right with the Golden Knights when I'm wrong. I really hope that this goalie tandem works out. But I think we could be in for some interesting games in a long season this year.
You know, with Robert and Leonard, it's almost like, is this guy just an elite backup? You know, do you need to have a star goalie and then Robin Leonard as an elite backup? Because, you know, like you said before, he hasn't been the number one guy. But when he comes in relief, comes in and needs to play a few games, at least when he did in Chicago, he stood on his head and he really gave us a chance to win some games and stole some games from.
Yeah, we were hoping
for us.
Remember, Mike?
Yeah.
We were hoping he would have been the guy after Crawford. And, you know, they decided to go with Crawford, and at the deadline he went to you guys, and
Malcolm Subban went to Chicago.
I was disappointed in that, man. Yeah, I really was.
Absolutely. That was a bad deal. That was a bad deal for Chicago.
You could have Subban back though if you need a backup goalie.
You know, if we got Subban back, we'd have so much more to talk about, because that guy was horrible. You know, Malcolm Subban really was. He had every opportunity, and he just. I got to be honest, man. He just kind of crapped his pants. You know what I mean? Like he really just dropped the ball. He would get six or seven goals scored on him. He's all time. Ditto. He's fantastic in the shootout.
I've seen that. Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic in the shootout is Subban. He's one of the best, like, all time minimum games, you know, played, like, of like 5 or 10, whatever. He's fantastic in that on one-on-one, but he can be fooled, and he's not consistent. And I was very, very surprised when they did what they did. And I'm like, wow, we end up with Robin Leonard. You know what I mean? Like, what a tandem. Like, how does Vegas not win the Stanley Cup? Clear favorites. Right. I mean, clear, like, top two. And, you know, the power play and the offensive woes failed them for the second straight year. And then you go out and you bring over Brett Howden. And it's just not sexy. It just doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, Dodonov is a good player. And, you know, you have potential with Peyton Krebs. And, you know, you're going to have Alex Tuck out for, you know, a lot of the year, half the year.
Wow.
And
that's my favorite player on your team.
Yeah, he's out until the end of January at least. And by time, you know, February rolls around with the All-Star break and the Olympics, I don't really know how much you're going to see about Alex Tuck. But Peyton Krebs has a ton of responsibility now. And I mean, I look at the bottom six, you know, and I'm just, I mean, Matthias Janmark, who is another ex-Blackhawk, I feel like he's a solid guy at times. He has a hat trick in game seven of the first round against Minnesota. He he's done some things, but I think when you're mixing all these guys, I'm just not sold right now. I mean, the season is played and, you know, everything could change, but I'm just not sold on that.
Well, man, it's really interesting to hear, you know, from the horse's mouth, essentially, a real Vegas fan on what's right. going on with the organization, because, you know, like with anything, you know, when you're watching, you know, 82 games out of the year, you're going to see things, you're going to notice things that, you know, the casual fan, or I wouldn't say the casual fan, but the person who only gets to see five games out of the year, you know, on TV, that we're not going to catch what you do. Really interesting. But to move on, you know, we're talking about Robin Leonard. You know, he made a really powerful statement the other day when he was talking about how some teams are giving players Ambien on traveling, you know, on traveling trips to help them relax and stuff, you know, and that's absolutely right. incredible, you know, because mm-hmm. I believe that stuff is supposed to be monitored and only be subscribed because, you know, I believe those are psychoactive drugs. So not psychoactive, but they, you know, they
mess. I mean, you use them to treat depression and anxiety.
Right.
And which can happen, you know, when you have an injury.
Right.
And, you know, when you're out for a while.
Right. And, you know, I know the NHL is looking to interview him. I think the Players mm-hmm. Association is looking to interview him as well, but they hadn't said anything, for at least from what I knew, after he said it, 24 hours after he made his comments, which is really interesting. And you know what? These are, because he mentioned Elaine Vigneault in his comments, and he said today that he wasn't specifically talking about Elaine Vigneault, that he was giving it to players. He was just saying in general that he's a hard guy to play for.
Right. Right.
But if there is truth to this, man, you know, this could be a really, really big deal, you know, that they're handing this stuff out to players. You know, where do you stand at with, you know, with Leonard's comments?
I'm kind of torn, you know, and I got to be honest. Members of my family have battled what Robin Leonard has battled. So in no way, shape, or form should what Robin Leonard is battling be the story. And if you look at some of the comments underneath, which streams for miles now.
Right.
If, you know, if you look at a lot of the comments, people are calling him crazy. And that hits a chord, you know, because the man is not crazy. The man is absolutely right. He has the courage and he is standing up for what a lot of other players cannot say or do. Because Robin Leonard has nothing to lose. Robin Leonard will be the voice of the players. And if he goes down as that and nothing else, he would be fine with that because he did all he could and he said all he could. Now, why didn't Robin Leonard go right to the NHL with this or the NHLPA or not Twitter? Twitter is the player's voice. It's the player's platform when other people are not and organizations are not listening. I don't believe that everybody is listening to what Robin Leonard is saying. Robin Leonard is saying that these locker rooms and these organizations are open pharmacies without prescriptions. And when you have an opioid problem in this country, have for a long time, somebody needs to listen. And I think his meeting should be valid. He should speak. He should do everything he can. And people, you know, who, you know, doctors and team officials who are allowing it should be held accountable, because you can kill somebody. You could do a lot of damage, and a lot of these guys have injuries and they have to play through them. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes they use narcotics and other drugs. to get through them. And it's really sad, but I don't think that Robin Leonard was bored. You know, me and Paula, the golden wife, have gone, you know, went back and forth, you know, about this. And it's for some people, it's a lot. It's a lot for Robin Leonard to every month, you know, be in the spotlight, be in the headlines. You know, all you're supposed to do, dude, is go stop pucks, right? That's what some people will say. Well, that's the equivalent of having, of telling someone in the NBA to go bounce a ball. Okay. It's wrong. Let the man speak, because he's got a lot to say. He's been in enough organizations and he knows what he's talking about. So he should be heard and something should be done. They want to run an investigation. Let him do it. Who's the source? Robin Leonard and anybody else that's talked to Robin Leonard, because he's been in enough locker rooms. I think the guy deserves a chance.
I think considering that he went straight to Twitter should give you really all of the insight that you really need, because maybe he felt that, you know what, if I go to the NHL with this, they're not going to do shit. If I go to the NHLPA about this, they're not going to do anything about it. And so what I need to do is go to Twitter and, you know, make some waves with this and then force them to listen. To be honest with you, I think that's why he did it. And also, if he did go to the NHL about it and spoke about it, they could have said, okay, we're going to investigate this. By the way, you can't mention this to anybody going forward, and, you know, make him sign some kind of freaking agreement. He doesn't, right. You know, that where he's silenced. You know, I saw some of the comments on there too, and it's a lot of things. Something that a lot of people don't know is I actually have anxiety myself. And it's really surprising for a lot of people, because it's one of those things where for a long time I suffered in silence, and, you know, nobody really has any idea, you know, what's going on, you know, and it comes to a head one day. And when that day comes, man, it's brutal. So when people are out there and talking about, you know, he's crazy, you know, it just goes to show you that there's a lot more that needs to be done about mental health. And I would probably say education about it too, because, you know, there's such a line, like when someone says they have anxiety, people are kind of just blow it off. They're like, oh yeah, that sucks. Maybe you're just like a little nervous. You know, it's like, no, that's not what it's like. What it's like is the walls are fucking closing in on me. There's a hurricane outside. There's a tornado coming in through the window, and everybody is just standing there looking at you like nothing is wrong, you know? And I don't think that there's enough education on mental health. And I think that that needs to go out there. I'm glad that Robin Leonard is out there, you know, advocating, you know, for these types of things and really bringing it to light about players, you know, playing through injuries. I believe Calvin DeHaan last week said that he played last year with a broken tibia, which either he's misspoken or maybe he's blowing it completely out of proportion, because I would think that that's an absolute impossibility to do something like that. But if you're hopped up on Oxycontin, I would probably imagine that it's really not that hard. Do you know what I mean? And
for sure.
And the whole thing of, have you ever seen The Last Boy Scout with Bruce Willis?
No, I have not.
There's a part at the beginning where this guy, he owes money, you know, he's on painkillers, you know, and the main guy too, you know, he got kicked out of the league because he was caught on painkillers. But it's such a commonality in professional sports where guys are on painkillers because they need to play through the pain so that they can get paid on their contract, you know, so they can make it in the game. And I think that it's getting to a point now where, you know, the line needs to be drawn. Look, I'm all out there for guys, you know, playing through some injuries. But when you've got, you know, Patrice Bergeron, and I believe it was 2013, playing through, you know, with a ruptured lung, there needs to be a line drawn. And a lot of people are like, oh yeah, the guy's a hero, you know. What if he just collapsed right there on the ice and died, you know, with a punctured lung, because he's out there trying to prove something in a way. And
I mean, they would have said that he shouldn't. He shouldn't have.
Right.
Yeah. He should. It was his choice. I mean? They would have said. Yeah.
Right. So Alec Martinez also played 19 playoff games last year with a broken foot. Alec Martinez. Painkillers. They're, you know.
Yeah.
Right then and there.
Yeah.
And
look, it's like Bobby Probert, Mike.
Yeah.
That poor guy had to live his life the last couple of years of Oxycontin just to take the pain away.
Brutal. And absolutely can you imagine brutal.
That? Just, and then the alcohol abuse, and then it's gotta horrific. Be a rough way.
One thing to another.
And yeah. and then here we are on the outside banging on the glass when guys are, you know, getting in fights and stuff like that, you know. And that's why I have a real I have a really funny relationship with sports, man, because a part of me is like, this is so awesome. You know, this is great. And then like, there's another part of me that's like this, it's like the modern day gladiators, you know, and am I supporting this guy who's not going to be able to walk in 10 years, can't walk right. You know,
Robin Leonard's a heroes. Beast, man. He's a you beast. Know? Robin Leonard's a beast.
He is.
To have his problem. Yeah. And like, he has these health issues. And put that on top. He's a goalie. That's another thing. Like, I was a goalie my whole career playing. Do you know how, like, you're looking up at the ceiling the night before, like, oh, man, what am I going to do? And you're thinking about it. Then the whole car ride with your parents, you're in silence and not thinking. And that's got to be 100 times more pressure in the NHL, like, playing in front of 50,000 people or 30,000 people, whatever, and people watching you. He handles it so well for, you know, having all these issues.
Yeah. I mean, all these guys do, you know, all these guys handle it well, because sometimes I mean, the biggest games of the year and it's just them in front of a net. And if they let that little black rubber thing go in, you know, I mean, it's like over, you know what I mean? And especially in the playoffs, everything is so do or die. Everything is so edgy your seat. That's what makes hockey, in my opinion, the best sport. I mean, hands down. And I mean, the playoffs are great. You know,
you can hide, right? Though, if you're a forward defenseman. True. If you're having a bad game, you can hide. But when you're a goalie, the starting goalie, the man, when you're the man, you have the spotlight on you and the pressure's on you. And he nails it out of the park, man. He doesn't even look like he has any issues. He's calm.
No, like he's going to go. Vegas is going to play the Flyers and he's going to skate over past Alain Vigneault. And he's just he probably be like will. Hi.
I remember when they first got him. Wasn't he tweeting at like Evander Kane, calling him like Baby Shark or something? I was dying.
Well, him and Ryan Reeves and Evander Kane had a relationship, but Leonard was not afraid to do it either, and Leonard probably isn't afraid to talk about, you know, Evander Kane and his gambling issues either.
Yeah,
he'll just go right at it. You know what I mean?
Leonard probably has no fear.
Yep. And that's what makes him interesting and special in the game. And
I don't think I'd drop him. I wouldn't drop him against Leonard. He just looks like he would flip a switch and be like an animal. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, cool. So moving forward, is there anything going on in the NHL that's really caught your eye? Like anything that you're really looking forward to during the season?
Well, for me, it's got to be having a full 82 game slate, everybody playing everybody, you know, Vegas getting to go back east, East Coast teams getting to come out to Vegas. Normalcy, I would say that normalcy is the biggest thing. Interesting that there's really not going to be any hockey in February. We can call the Olympics hockey, but let's be honest, from February 1st to February 25th, basically, there's like no hockey. Okay. So that's kind of rough. I mean, getting back in the Olympics, you know, in the Olympics is good for the Americans. It's good for the players. It's good for North America. It's, you know, it's good for the world. But, you know, that's going to be kind of lonely. It's going to be, you know, Gerard Gallant playing against the Knights, Seattle coming into the league. Marc-Andre Fleury playing against Vegas, you know, and I just, it was really important for, you know, for our show to come on your show and just, you know, just to tell you how much of an amazing human being you guys have. I'm sure you're well aware, but just he's fantastic, and he's going to do some things that are just going to make you just say, wow. And why is he not in Pittsburgh? Why is he not in Vegas? Exactly. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a future Hall of Famer. and he won the Vezina last year, had the best year of his career, 3-time cup winner. He just smiles. And when he smiles, he takes a little piece of your heart, because he plays the game with so much love. And I'm really bitter that he left. Not that he went to Chicago, but that he left. But that ownership let him go for a price that they paid him, and that he's going to be like, I mean, what is he going to say? No, I'm not going to sign a contract for $7 million. You hand me $7 million, I'm going to take it. I mean, you're out of your mind if you don't, right? So it's going to be, you know, when he comes to Vegas and he gets that ovation, it's going to feel like it goes on forever. And Vegas is probably going to meet the Blackhawks in the playoffs, and Fleury is going to make 60 million saves every game because they deserve it, because they deserve it for the way that they treated him. And some people on social media that day, I remember when he got traded, were like, nah, so what? $7 million we can spare. Really? $7 million you can spare? Let's see. Brett Howden, Brassois, you got Dadnov. I mean, Nolan Patrick, they were able to swing for Cody Glass. Cody Glass was dead in the water a year and a half ago because he had no confidence. The organization had no confidence in him. You know, I really think that they gave away Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, if you just want to take away, you know, a little bit of the numbers away, they did. But there's
for nothing. Yeah.
And people will argue with you. They will argue with you until their teeth fall off that they did not give Marc-Andre Fleury up for nothing. And they did. They also gave Ryan Reeves, who was a tone setter, sometimes taking himself out of plays because of his physicality.
I didn't get
for
that.
A third round pick. I don't get it either. I don't think I ever will. I think you could put that on my tombstone. I do not understand why Ryan Reeves was traded for a third round pick. Here lies me. You know what I mean? Like, it was completely ridiculous.
But yeah, like when you think of Vegas, that's who I thought of. I mean, I thought of Ryan Reeves, Marc-Andre Fleury. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
I thought Ryan Reeves was he seemed to me, he seemed like more of like a fan favorite identity for the organization
and the city.
And a tone setter. And I thought that I understood why New York wanted him.
Right.
Because
that's a tone
Wilson's
setter.
Dead right. in the water. Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he was a fan favorite, and he just had so much, you know, him and Fleury both had character and so much given up on the ice, you know, from both. And what a lot of organizations and different teams fans might not know, and different podcasts and shows and writers, is that Vegas and the organization is rubbing people in and out of the organization the wrong way. In the past year to year and a half, it's been like 13 to 15 plus organizational people have left the organization.
Wow.
Vegas. You're talking about in arena people. You're talking about people in the front office, not players. That 13 to 15 was not player related at all. And I think that between the way that they've treated players and or other on the way out, at some point do players and other people wonder, hey, should I really go to Vegas, because I'm kind of gonna end up looking like a jackass on the way out? Because that's what they've done. You know, a lot of people that put together that pregame show are not with the organization anymore. Some of their in arena talent on the pregame, postgame networks have left, and other. And something's up. And I don't think that we're going to get an answer about that, but there's something in the pot that's brewing. Somebody or some people are rubbing people wrong, I guess is the best way to put it. And not a lot of organizational fans know that. Well, but it's really
interesting. I got a question for you. Since you're getting into this, What happened with Gerard Gallant? Because I thought he was great this first year. I mean, he made it to the final. I mean, I never really got the real story about this.
So, Gerard Gallant, I remember exactly where he was. He was let go. They had just lost four games in a row.
Okay.
They had a losing streak. It started when they were up 3-1 in the, you know, in the Western first round against San Jose. That's where the crack in the relationship between Kelly McCrimmon, George McPhee, and Gerard Gallant started. About halfway through the year, like I said, they had a 4-game losing streak. In their opinion, they felt like, you know, he lost the locker room. I don't really believe that that actually happened. I feel like you have Pete DeBoer, who beat you, and he was just fired a month earlier from San Jose. You have him sitting in Florida doing absolutely nothing. I want to make a splash. This team has expectations. They've had expectations from day one, from year one. We have to get back on track. So they can Gerard Gallant. Now, lucky for Gerard Gallant, they were actually able to get him, you know, out of the arena and, you know, into an airplane, unlike the Florida Panthers, who basically left him at the arena and his family with nowhere to go.
Wow.
I mean, or, you know, it was bad. They at least were able to get him travel. Great for them. And, you know, next thing you know, you have Gerard Gallant fired. Pete DeBoer's in. The guy that Gerard Gallant called a clown and that everybody in Vegas was basically calling a clown. That's your guy. And now we've all got to be on board with that. That was tough. That was tough for a lot of people. Gerard Gallant was the original coach.
Yeah.
Who Pete DeBoer?
Yeah, I am. No, well,
yeah,
I
no, there's a lot of
don't
those.
Understand. He's been on New Jersey lost. He's been with the Sharks lost. I don't see the hype. I mean, if you guys fired Gallant for Joe Quenneville, yeah, I understand that one, but did not get that one.
It was definitely, I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a joke. It was very surprising to us all. DeBoer has taken, you know, his two prior teams to the NHL final, you know, and, you know, to the Stanley Cup in his first year with both.
Yes.
So his first year in New Jersey and his first year in San Jose. But, I mean, that's it, you know, yep, so
never got it done.
So, hey man, is there anybody you want to give a shout out to? You want to let everybody know your social media sites?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, you can catch, you know, me at Vegas Fever Pod. That's the Vegas Fever podcast site. And you can also catch, my wife. Her Twitter is at the Golden Wife. And we also do another show called The Golden Line, which I've talked to Mike about. It's more of a current event. It's more of what's going on in the world, hard hitting stuff. It really is interesting. We have one episode out, but we're working on doing more. But those are the two ways to find us. Just appreciate all the listens and subscribes, and we're growing. And it's I'm over 10,000 followers. I didn't think two people would follow me. You know, a year ago. I mean, I'd be lucky if I got followed by a ham sandwich, dude. You know what I mean? So
us too.
You know, you guys do fantastic stuff, and I appreciate you guys having us on. You know, we should definitely do it again. You know, we got some matchups, you know, this season between, you know, the Hawks and the Knights to talk about, and there's gonna be plenty more going on. But that's us. We're just, you know, we're just Vegas people. We're pretty hard on them sometimes, but sometimes they deserve it. But it gives us a lot of joy and fun, and we like doing it. So
you guys are taking the Pacific, no doubt, number one Pacific.
Yeah,
well, in my opinion. I agree. I think Seattle's going to sneak in. I think Seattle's going to be in the top three. I do.
Huh. Yeah,
I do.
Mentioning we think that Seattle's going to be not like how the Knights came in and kind of just blew everybody away, but I think they're going to be a pretty decent team, and they're not going to be in the dredges of the NHL like where the Coyotes are going to be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think that, I mean, Yeah, that's going to be like epically bad. And they're moving to the Central. You could just forget it.
Thanks for the points.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, thank you for coming on. We'll definitely have you on again, probably around a Vegas game. It'll be a great time. And once again, thank you for your time. And we'll see you next time, man. This is the Tomahawk. We're out of here.